Perry?
Here.
Barron?
Here.
Klein?
Here.
Braverman? Cluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Here.
Duber?
Yes, here. Should I have a motion to excuse her Braverman?
So moved.
I'll second it.
All right, thank you, Ms. Cluter, Ms. Perry. Mary, if you'd call the roll on that, please.
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Cluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes. Moving on to comment, audience comments relating to agenda items only. Is there anybody who would like to come on up? Mr. Bona, please state your name in the microphone.
Frank Bona, 4760 Brainerd Road. I put together a list. I asked for some records the past 3 weeks or so. So I put together a little list of the happenings during that time. It's related to the Pinecrest project. On 4/20, April 20th, I made a request from the village for all Pinecrest agreements that were presented at the 4/1 meeting. I received two of the four. The village clerk said that was all the agreements that she received on 4/16. Why wasn't the clerk given everything that was given to council? Assuming council also received theirs on 4/16, your schedule of completion, which was set on the meeting of 4/1, is already off by 1 week. And to remind you, your schedule was 4/22, 4/29, and 5/6. Based on the council having the documents by 4/10, which you did not. Mr. Braverman, who's not here, it'll kill him if he heard this, but he said last minute rush was habit forming in this council, and that's exactly what happened. You're down a week and now you're rushing. Why wasn't the schedule adjusted to allow council more time to review the documents? On 4/23, I requested copies of all agreements presented at 4/22 meeting. The clerk had none to give. I requested from, on 4/27, I requested from Mr. Finley and Mr. Singerman copies of all agreements for Pinecrest. I received acknowledgement from them that they received my message on the 28th.
Mr. Bona, I don't mean to interrupt
29th.
You. I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's my understanding that, you know, we're not here to hide anything. So if there's anything you want, just make a list and give it to me and I'll make sure you get everything you want.
Why? I want this on the record. I make a list to you, it doesn't go anyplace.
Okay, I'm just trying to help you get you what you want.
I'm moving on. I'm sorry if I'm taking up too much
time. No, it has nothing to do with time. I'm just trying to be cooperative and give you what you want. You want documents, and I was not made aware of any type of issue.
Well, let me finish.
Hold on, please let me finish. I was not made aware of any type of issue, and if there's an issue, I'm here to address it. And if you're not getting documents, all you have to do is let me know, and I will make sure you get every single document that's public record that you're requesting.
You got it, Mr. Singerman.
I'm sorry, but I don't think I have to really approach you, take up your time when there's other ways of doing it through the proper channels. Let me finish, please. I received an acknowledgement from Mr. Finley, Mr. Singerman, 20th, 29th, that they received my request. Mr. Finley said he had to coordinate with the village and the law director on this. 4/29, response from Mr. Finley, Mr. Singerman, that they are coordinating to get the documents to me by the end of the week or the beginning of the next. Almost done. 4/30. I requested from the village clerk copies of the agreements from the 4/29 meeting, received all four copies this time. 5/1, received copies from Mr. Singerman. Two agreements were older than the ones I received from the village on the 29th. 5/4, Mr. Singerman informed me that my request for the most recent versions, which was my last request, would be filled after council approved the documents at this meeting. Why was there so much difficulty in supplying current documents that were in electronic form and available, and discussed in open meetings. Different subject, very quickly, on the 2015-4 ordinance, why is the levy set at 10 years when Pinecrest will be bringing in money probably sooner, much sooner than that? Thank you.
No. Thank you. And once again, I'll make this very clear that if there's any documents you want and you're not getting, please go ahead and inform me of that, and I will make sure you get every document that you want. Okay?
Okay.
Mr. Bonk.
Edward Bonk, 4369 Brainerd Road. Some of these, my comments regarding the documents may be overstated because the inability to receive updated ones in a timely manner. One of the big things council needs a say in future changes. Why they would give all the authority to planning and zoning and the mayor is beyond me. This is how we got the big surprise of the apartments, which was part of the bait and switch campaign that approved the millage. They said no apartments. No apartments.
Time out. This is a, in theory, you're allowed to have 1 minute of audience comments related to agenda items only. I am not going to enforce that here, but I'm also not going to sit in here and listen to a dialogue of accusations of facts that are not necessarily correct. So we're not going to go into that right now. Now, again, as I stated to Mr. Bona, if there's any documents that you want that you don't have, I am more than happy to supply whatever it is you want.
It's not your job. It's the clerk of council.
I am saying, as president of council, if you are not getting what you want from the clerk of council, come to me. It's good old ask mom. If you don't get it, ask dad, and I'll be dad. Okay? So just ask me what you want, and I will get it for you. I'm sorry, ma'am. You're out of turn at the moment.
Second item is the traffic study has no triggers for the mechanisms. We have a study that's agreed. The individual developer said they will make the village whole. The question is at what level? The question is reasonable. Most contracts say if an event occurs, you would have a triggering event. I don't know what the car count is that they're going to expand lanes, put turning lanes in, or whatever, but I can assure you that the traffic will not be where the study says. I will. The other thing that Mr. Braverman brought up multiple times was the lack of symmetry in the whole contracts. Time and time again, the village developer will make a request, and the village needs to be reasonable in granting it. If you don't define what's reasonable, at what cost, what party, what is the impact of the community? Mr. Braverman's point, why might have been repetitious, is absolutely critical because it will get you a super lawsuit, or you're going to acquiesce to everything the developer has. What I think is reasonable is completely different than the mayor thinks is reasonable, and I don't think you could even get a consensus on what's reasonable. Some members of this body have said that the numbers I have quoted in terms of the economics of this deal are wrong. The analysis I used were from the data sources, the mayor's own numbers, the county treasurer, and Dr. Holland. If they're going to say that I'm wrong on my numbers, I will explain my methodology and tell you how I got to the $132 million of corporate welfare. $130 million of corporate welfare. Basically, we took the $800,000 that was promised to school, multiplied times four, divided by the county tax.
We've been over your numbers. I don't agree. The rest of council doesn't agree. Our attorneys don't agree. Our financial counselors don't agree. If you want to go ahead and explain your numbers, you can have a round table at your house or any other venue of your choice, but this is not the venue to do that today. That issue has already been discussed, and it's done.
It's something I want to bring out that maybe some of you will develop a conscience and not take the money from the schools.
Okay.
Not take the money from the park.
This is the point where I just cut it off because you've been over a minute, and I don't need to sit here and listen to somebody saying that I don't have a conscience because that's just so incorrect, and it's It's disgusting that you'd even come up to the microphone and say that.
I will show you at another date, number by number.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ma'am, would you like to speak? If you could please state your name and address.
Chase Dieter, 28849 Orange Meadow Lane.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't do this kind of stuff. You know, I don't even vote.
You should, it's good.
I know. But I'm a professional. I go to a lot of meetings. I've been going to a lot of meetings a long time. I'm charge nurse at I'm from Chicago, a charge nurse in an ICU. I'm not used to this kind of communication at a meeting.
This isn't how meetings usually go, ma'am.
I think that you've been a little bit disrespectful and unprofessional.
Okay, I appreciate those comments. Thank you. Is there anybody else who'd like to state anything tonight? And just for the record, it's been stated to me by the clerk of council that every request that has been made has been fulfilled completely. I have not been aware of any other, anything outside of that, and therefore we're moving on. At this point, we're moving on to old business, pending legislation and motions. Can I have a motion to appoint two members, and those being Norm Singer and Lauren Wolf, to the Income Tax Board of Review for one term ending December 31st, 2015, and on term ending December 31st, 2016. Lauren Wolf will be serving the term ending December 31st, 2015, and Mr. Singer will be serving on the term ending December 31st, 2016. Can I have a motion, please?
I'll move.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mrs. Cluter. Mayor, if you call roll, please.
Just a sec. Could the mayor explain, perhaps, to the people who haven't been to the meetings what this actually means?
There is a provision in the code that allows for the formation of a tax review committee. That committee will be responsible for hearing appeals from taxpayers after they've gone through the entire process through RITA, appealed it to our tax administrator. If they still don't agree with the decisions that were made to that point, they have the right to appeal to a resident-filled tax review board, and that is what is being filled here tonight. I have been with the village since 1984, and the tax review board has met once.
Thank you.
Is there any other comments regarding this? Okay. If none, if Mary, if you please call roll.
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Cluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes. Moving on to ordinance 2015-5, an ordinance amending chapter 1148 to add subsection 1148.16 relative to temporary structures and portable toilets. This is on for second reading. Judd, do you want to?
Sure, I'll comment. This has been reviewed by the Planning Commission and approved, recommended for approval by council. Significant portion of this relates to temporary storage structures that find their way into people's front yards and in their driveways, and to regulate how those are managed and how long someone can maintain one of these portable structures, and along with that temporary construction toilets and other similar temporary structures that would be erected on a property.
Is there any discussion regarding ordinance 2015-5?
I just wonder, Orange Village Park uses portable toilets. Are we, do we fall into those same rules, and are we compliant with what we're developing here?
You are a prior non-conforming use. You don't need to make a change to current usage.
anything else just regarding this? No. We're gonna skip ordinances 2015-6 and 7. Those are on for third reading at the public hearing on July 8th. So we'll move on to ordinance 2015-8. An ordinance amending Chapter 931 of the Codified Ordinances to amend Section 931.09E1 and to enact Section 931.19, establishing rules for the Orange Village Dog Park. This is on for third reading. I think we've gone through this pretty well at this point. I don't know if anybody has objections to council taking this to a vote tonight. Any other discussion regarding this?
I was in the dog park a couple of days ago with my little dog, but all the flags have been taken down wherever you were marking things out. So what's the status? The little flags, there were like little flags. Oh, okay. I thought, oh, maybe it's not going through. Okay. And it will be open from 8 in the morning till 8 at night? What are the hours?
Dawn
to dusk. Okay.
Dawn to dusk.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
What's the time frame for that to go up?
I'll be there before you.
All right. Thank you. Are there any further comments on the dog park? Okay. At that point, can I have a motion to pass ordinance 2015-8?
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Perry. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Alfred. Mary, if you call the roll, please.
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Kluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes. Moving on to ordinance 2015-10, as amended, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a development agreement and related easement with Pine Orange LLC and Walnut Hills LLC for development of real property in the village and related services and declaring an emergency. This is on for third reading. Is there any?
Singerman? I'm going to go over what changes are different from last week.
Yeah, do you mind, Mary? You can have the throne.
I'm not sure what documents I want, and I didn't print them.
As we discussed at the last meeting, the developer and the Waterford Court residents were talking through and trying to reach agreement on the construction sequencing, timing aspects of this agreement that primarily benefited the folks at Walnut Court and
Waterford.
Waterford, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. So most of the changes in the agreement, and the marked copy that I sent to you, relate to those agreements and construction sequencing and issues related to construction sequencing. We can walk through each one if you'd like, or if you have questions, I'm happy to.
It might be good to do a quick walkthrough if that's.
Okay. So we had a change in Article 2, Section B on page 5, which just clarified that the commercial developer itself was going to be the owner of the PD6 property before construction activities, and clarified that it was going to be the one signing the declaration of restrictions and filing that declaration. Also, there was a provision that said that the declaration was going to have priority over mortgages and other encumbrances other than real estate taxes, assessments, service payments, minimum service payments, and service charges. That the other than language was taken out, and I think that was taken out. I think it's a legal matter. I don't think a tax foreclosure would affect the validity of that declaration to the extent that it was filed before the tax assessment. think that's why that was taken out. Slight change in paragraph C, rather than have the commercial developer causing restaurants and other commercial occupants within just PD district PD1, it's now the entire commercial portion of the project will have to install odor abatement systems not cause odors that are detectable to the residents of Waterford Court. Paragraph E, there the sub-districts PD1 through PD5 was changed to include the whole project so that proposed buildings and rooftop mechanicals throughout the entire project couldn't be seen from dwellings on Waterford Court. The next change was in paragraph 3A1A, which is on page 7 of the MARC version, which is traffic improvements. And in response to the discussion last week about whether or not there would be a requirement to connect into the Chagrin Boulevard signalization management system, we've changed the language to clarify that the devices will be compatible with and it may be required to be connected. If they are required and can be, they will be. We've also, in the traffic improvement section, and stop me if anybody has any questions. We added a parenthetical in the section dealing with the subsequent traffic study to make it clear that that study would also include looking at the intersection between the northerly access drive of the commercial portion of the project and Orange Place. That's an intersection that's of particular concern to the village, and we wanted to make sure that we clearly specified that that would be reviewed. On paragraph 2A2 of Article 3, in paragraph A, as we discussed last week, we were going to split the easements into a stormwater easement and a traffic and landscaping easement, so we revised the language in paragraph 2A to do that. In article, paragraph 4 of that section 2A, on the seating paragraph, we've added a clause to make it clear that in addition to seating, that the developer also has to comply with the village's applicable erosion control standards. The construction sequencing articles, Article 4, is the changes were made in those paragraphs reflecting the agreement between the commercial developer and the Waterford Court residents on the construction sequencing and the garage and other temporary fencing and mounding and items such as that. So it's really relates to how the project is going to get developed in a way that minimizes the impact on the adjacent property owners.
Is everybody on Waterford Court relatively happy and satisfied with this?
I can speak to that, sure, a little bit, because I just came here from a meeting with some of the residents.
Okay.
As Paul described, the process of revising the agreement with respect to the construction sequencing and hours of work have been a significant undertaking with a lot of input, feedback, and cooperation from Waterford residents. There were a couple who were primarily involved in that process, and they approved of those changes over the weekend. And since then, there have been other communications with other residents, including a meeting just this evening, where there was further confirmation from the Waterford residents of approval. Some residents weren't there. Ones who weren't, but whose property are adjacent to the development, had communications with residents of Waterford who were more involved in this and indicated their comfort with the changes that were made. Nobody has raised any objections to any of the changes that were made from the previous draft that council has seen, and everybody who has has spoken on the subject has indicated that they are comfortable and satisfied with those changes.
And every resident had the opportunity to be heard and give their opinion if they wanted to.
Every resident was advised of tonight's meeting, and a handful of residents appeared, and others who couldn't make it had indicated.
But also of like the past, you know, all these discussions that have gone on to
this
get
has
where
been,
we're at. I know it's been going on for a long time.
This has been going on. I looked back at my first draft of this agreement. It's from May of 2013. This has been a significant undertaking, and Waterford residents have been involved in this process from its inception, and have had that opportunity from the start of this process and have contributed.
Just want to make sure we have happy residents.
Understood, and thank you.
Thank you.
So all the changes in the construction sequencing paragraph, which and it looks like a lot of changes, and it's really simply to deal with the change in the construction sequencing to make it the language more appropriately line up with the way the project is actually going to get developed, and to make sure that it was being done in a manner that's comfortable for the adjacent property owners. On Article 7, there was changed Article 7, which is the money that is going to be paid by the commercial developer for the use of the easements, as well as the costs associated with this undertaking. And what we did in that paragraph was try to, with some specificity, provide when those payments would be made, so that it had provided that the payments would have been made contemporaneously with the execution of the easement, which would have been easements. But we recognized that some of these easements will require approvals of third parties and may take an indeterminate amount of time. So we went back to the developer and said, we want to make sure that at least a good portion of the payment is made on a date certain. So we bifurcated the payments so that $250,000 is going to be paid no later than the 90th day following the approval of the final development plan for the commercial portion of the project. So it was to provide some certainty on the timing of that payment. And that's
page 23.
Page 23 in the definition of transfer, just again some clarity on what an outlot within the commercial portion of the development that would allow for a permitted transfer was the outlot needing was as it's depicted on the development plan and any approved final development plan. So we've just tried to more with some specificity describe what an outlot is. Those are the changes that were made to the development agreement. And then I don't know if anybody, I also sent out the packet of the exhibits that go along with the development agreement. I don't know if anybody has any questions or.
I only have one comment on the declaration exhibits. And I'm not sure whether this isn't something that just needs to be between the, it's a document that appears, a piece of a drawing that appears to be missing. The northerly extension of the landscaped area drawing, if you look at the exhibit E in the declarations, it shows the landscaping extending to the north and wrapping the northerly end of the parking lot. And exhibits F basically show in a large scale drawing of those elements, but that piece that extends to the north stops before it makes the return. So there's a piece of drawing that needs to be included in that.
Councilman, we can supplement that drawing.
That's fine.
The difference is where the trees are planted, the plantings end at that point in that drawing. So the rest of that mound that's depicted in Exhibit E, which is the first exhibit there that shows the whole thing, that will simply be landscaped mound. So where the trees are required to be planted for purposes of shielding the view of the Waterford Court residents, that second page is accurate, which was part of the package that Craig Kors put together.
The Exhibit F.
Exhibit F, correct. So the remaining piece of that mound that you're describing that's wrapping around the northern end of that parking lot will actually just be a landscaped mound, but it will not have plantings on it.
It will have the same vegetation that the other has on it. And that's?
That's per our agreement with the Waterford Court.
The agreement with Waterford Court?
Yes.
Do we need a change to this exhibit? It doesn't sound like it needs to be changed.
No.
The only thing we need to change, I just noticed now, is your revise from draft dated 4/27 provided to council, and it says 5/29, it should say 4/29.
Oh, on the draft I sent, the mark draft up?
So we don't get confused.
So we don't get confused. That's, yes, sorry. I will make that change. Thank you.
I know we've discussed this ordinance ad nauseum, to say the least, but more than happy to discuss this anymore if anybody believes there's any more discussion that needs to be had. Mr. Klein, nothing?
I'm satisfied.
All right. Mr. Opper?
I'm good.
Ms. Kluter, are you good?
I'm saving my... I'm reserving the right to speak later, if I may, please.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Anything over there regarding discussion of this ordinance?
No. My questions have all been answered in our process.
Well, if everybody's good with it, could I have a motion to pass ordinance 2015-10 as amended?
Motion made.
Thank you, Ms. Perry. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. And Mary, come on.
Mary, would you like me to call the roll?
Oh, is there, Ms. Kluter, do you have further discussion that you'd like to do
now? Not on 2015-10.
Not on 10?
No, on 11.
Okay.
If I may, please.
Okay.
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Kluter?
Yes.
Alfred?
Please to vote yes.
Duber?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Singerman, for all your work. Appreciate it.
Mr. President, may I make a comment?
Absolutely.
For those of you in the audience who haven't been here for the last four meetings, every meeting we've had changes, editing, additions, deletions. This was a living document that hasn't really become whole until this evening. And with the help of our outside counsel, and the participation of the mayor and the council members, we've come to this point now where we feel confident that it's a good document, but it has been in flux for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Thank you.
Mr. Finley, come on up. Or come on down.
sent the whole new packet with the one change.
This is my bedtime.
That's all? You were just given the pages that had one change in it.
It's the same one that was sent out.
Numerous times?
There was this one change to the ordinance from last week to add the date that the school board passed the resolution.
Yeah, I don't know if they have that. Where's the 15?
The 15, what? The 11?
Look at your 2015-11 and look on the second page, the second whereas, and if the date's filled in, you have the most current.
I'm sure I don't. No, I, how many of these can I possibly? Second page, I don't even have a second page.
I already have filled in the date that the school board passed.
April 27, yeah.
April 27, yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'm the only one that's behind. I stopped printing every draft.
What was the change that we're reprinting on this document?
I don't know.
Two versions of everything.
Yeah, and I said I stopped printing every version.
Yeah. I would start looking at it just on the electronic version.
Yeah.
What is it tonight?
I don't either, I just don't recall it. It's like, I have told her what you recall. I've been known to forget things. Yeah. But, no, maybe this is just the reference to it.
All right.
Do you want us to look at Brandon?
This is old, what's that?
Do you want us to look at?
Do you have the new? Okay, the most recent?
Not from this afternoon.
Okay.
But that ordinance.
That ordinance is correct.
Okay, yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Price, what, is there just one change in the document?
One change, it shows.
There's one change that I sent out to you on Sunday. Well, in addition to add, to modifying the reference to the school board resolution.
Right.
And the ordinance itself, there's one change in the ordinance and in the service payment agreement itself to add the word age.
Yeah.
As one of the.
Yeah, okay.
Criteria.
Yeah, we saw that.
That's what you've seen so far. There has been one additional change that goes through the tax increment service payment agreement and the school compensation agreement that I've just passed out, marked change pages. Should all have that.
That's this one.
Yes.
You just gave us.
Yep.
Yes, I think I do. Yes, I think I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I just passed it to her, so.
Yes, I do.
Now you have two. Now you have two, Francis, you can.
The changes that were made to the service payment agreement and the compensation agreement came from a question from Mr. Bloom regarding the language that we had regarding the dates for paying the school compensation payment to the school district. Previously, that had read that the payments would be made within 30 days following receipt. And the concern was that because the way the property taxes are collected by the county and then distributed to the taxing districts, that could result in some confusion as to whether those payments had to be made in a piecemeal fashion within 30 days of each receipt. And so what we've done is clarified that by providing that the payments are to be made within 30 days following receipt by the village of each semi-annual real property tax settlement. So that'll be occurring twice a year.
within 30 days following the settlement date with the county. We, because that also affected the compensation agreement with the school district, we had to confirm that the school district and their council were comfortable with that language, and they confirmed that they are.
So that's now in the final document.
That's in the final document that you're going to.
That we'll be voting on this evening.
That will be attached to the ordinance.
Okay.
Yes.
What he sent this afternoon, remember, it was the whole set again, clean, with every change in it.
And the clerk is making copies of that right now.
That's just the order.
That's just the exhibits to reflect that change that we've gone through, the two marked pages.
So this will be in that.
That'll be in the attachment to the ordinance.
Is there, yeah. Is there any other questions regarding this or anything else in the tax increment service payment agreement?
Did you want?
Francis? No, once it's on the table, we haven't got it on the table yet.
Oh, okay. No, we don't.
When we do,
good. And then, you know, I brought up one thing with Mr. Singerman that you answered, and I just want to have another record. But regarding the all-purpose trails, everything, and I've looked through this, you know, pretty well, and I've discussed it with both of you, but the obligation is in there, because I did have a couple questions from a couple residents who contacted me, that there is the obligation in there that the developers will pay all of any bonds that we would have to get in order to receive that $5 million. Is that correct?
The development agreement contains a representation by the developer that they will file a petition with the village for what's called a special assessment to fund the construction of the trails.
Within 30 days of us asking for it.
Correct. The reason that that language regarding the timing is there is because we want to make sure that we're ready to proceed with all of the steps connected with implementing the special assessment, including undertaking the project itself before we start the project.
We are floating the bonds, we are in the village, and then you're in. Am I getting this?
Here's what's going to happen. Just like every other assessment project we've done, we have to go through the legal things of notice and, you know, have people have a chance to know that this is happening, although they're the only property owner. Then once they give us the petition to assess them, we will get the project done under our engineer's watch. We'll do the project. While we're doing it, we'll probably have to issue a bond anticipation note. And then when we go to the notes, the 20-year notes, we will know exactly how much it costs. And so their semi-annual payments to us will cover the debt service. So we will just be the flow through. They will make their payments through the real estate taxes as an assessment.
Over 20 years,
and their revenue stream to us will match our debt service payments out.
100%.
The assessment.
$5 million of project cost plus interest.
Right.
Plus.
Right, the assessment will include not only the cost, the principal cost, but also the interest on the bond.
That is confusing.
When we go to bond, we know all those costs. We've done it a few times.
So we won't have
done it exactly the same way. The water lines, this is exactly the same way we did it. We issued 20-year bonds to match the flow of the income in.
And we won't have any difficulty receiving the $5 million bond to pay for this?
I don't think. Matt, will we have any trouble floating? Will the Village of Orange have any trouble issuing $5 million worth of 20-year notes, bonds?
Wanted to be 100% clear.
20 years old. Okay, 20 years old.
Yep.
That's the expectation. No challenge. Assuming the market stays, the market's a market, but a reasonable market, that should be okay.
This is the clean or final copy?
Yes, that's the final.
That's the clean final.
That's the final.
I think that's all marked up?
Yeah, where are the scribbles on?
That's the, from the letterhead of where the survey was done.
Where's the ordinance?
That's just the exhibits to the ordinance.
The ordinance hasn't changed.
Oh, okay.
Would that be correct? The ordinance has not changed since the.
Correct.
No, it's different.
Yes.
On page two of the tax incremental service payment agreement, there's a blank for a date.
Yes.
What?
That'll be the date that it's executed.
Executed between the school district and?
No, between the developer and the village. For the tax increment service payment agreement, it's between those two parties.
Okay.
Then there's a separate compensation agreement between the village and the school district. That'll also be dated, the date of its execution.
Okay.
There's some other blanks in the exhibits that we'll fill in. I didn't want to be presumptuous and fill in a date of passage of an ordinance that hasn't been passed yet. So that's why you see some blanks up.
Right.
And you have my copy, Brandon?
Yeah.
Do you have the exhibit A, Francis?
What are all the?
Yeah, this.
That's from the letter.
The description inside.
Provided the legal description on.
Because that's their.
Looks like I have two.
That's their letterhead. Maybe that's, yeah. Interesting.
Sort of cutting a check.
Is there a reason why there are two exhibit As in this package?
There's one exhibit A that's an exhibit A to the ordinance. And that exhibit A is the real property description.
Yeah.
And then there's an exhibit A to the tax increment service payment agreement.
Oh, okay.
That is.
It's basically the same thing.
The legal description again.
Yeah.
So just so that I could really confuse everyone, I included all the exhibits.
Okay. But it's intentionally, one's included for one document and.
Correct.
The other's included for the others.
Right.
Okay, instead of included by reference.
Right.
Okey-dokey.
Is there any questions? Are people still going through this? I see Mr. Barry shaking his head.
I'm good.
Ms. Cluter, have you had enough time to look through everything here?
Yes.
Ms. Barry?
I'm great.
Are there any other questions regarding ordinance 2015-11? Okay, if not, can I have a motion to pass ordinance 2015-11 as amended? An ordinance declaring the improvement of certain real property located in Orange Village to be a public purpose in connection with the establishment of tax increment financing program under Ohio Revised Code Section 5709.40, declaring such property to be exempt from real property taxation, designated public infrastructure improvements to be made that will directly benefit such property, requiring the owners thereof to make service payments in lieu of taxes, authorizing tax increment service payment agreement with the developer, authorizing compensation agreement with the Orange City School District, establishing municipal public improvement tax increment equivalent fund for the deposit of such service payments, and declaring an emergency. This is on for a third reading. Can I have a motion?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mr. Alfred. Is there a second?
I will second that.
Mrs. Cluter, thank you. Any other discussion prior to voting?
Would you allow me to speak last or no?
Sure. Ferrick, do you have anything else?
No, I don't have any other comments.
I'm satisfied with the agreement.
Mr. Alfred?
I'm satisfied, thank you.
Mr. Klein?
Thank you, no further comments.
Thank you.
Here's your opportunity.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. This has been a soul-searching, well-examined process for me. I've spent hours poring over documents. This has been my sort of nightly reading for days. Plans, presentations, and all the financial numbers, all of them. I have to vote in the best interest of the community whom I've had the privilege to represent for 28 years. I went to the school board meetings and heard all of the presentations given. The school board voted 4-1 for the TIF. I've spoken to people from Moreland Hills, from Beechwood, Shaker Heights, as well as residents of Orange Village. Historically, the community voted to rezone the Pinecrest land from residential to commercial, and the residential was supposed to be condos. This is almost 2 years ago. Mr. Lewinsky spearheaded this. The community was told it was the best development. When Mr. Lewinsky could not get the financing, Fairmont Properties came aboard who explained to us that the Lewinsky plan was just asphalt and box stores. The community did not hear that at the initial rezoning request. The residents voted yes to rezone, and I supported that fully. Fairmont Properties explained at a couple of meetings that their proposed new plan was better. Some of the architectural schematics shown to the residents, council, mayor, at a recent town hall meeting were not pleasing to me. They looked like barracks, and apparently not pleasing to Mr. Fishman either, but this is what those in attendance heard and saw. Fairmont could not finance this development without the TIF. Orange residents at the time of the initial rezoning were never told about the TIF. We were told lots of dollars to the schools and lots of dollars to Orange Village. Who will pay these dollars? Will it be the taxpayers? Fairmont is in this to make money. What soured me on the TIF really was Orange's recent agreement to make the development a go, sacrificing too much of our tax dollars, more than anticipated. I could not support that. I've always supported the right of the community to vote on major issues, this building, the service department, the Pinecrest development. I was told last week by the law director that Ordinance 2015-13, re the initiative petition, for residents to vote on this was illegal. It was in violation of the charter, which I had sworn to uphold, so I had to vote that down. I'm not against the project. I repeat, I am not against the project. I'm less than enthused with the TIF to finance it. If Fairmont had independent resources, I would totally support that. To my colleague who said that the original Lewinsky proposal for redevelopment was a projection, it was not. Resident believed it to be the status quo. To the colleague who indicated that I must do what is beneficial to the whole community, that is what indeed I must do when the vote is called for tonight. Traffic and traffic to be re-examined once the development is up and running. Finally, as a breast cancer survivor living in my home now for 40 years, there has been 5 cases of breast cancer on my street. One neighbor died at 56. There have been other cancers noted on the street as well, maybe another 3 out of about 12 houses. Behind this cul-de-sac on Brainerd Road, 3 more case cancer mortalities that I know of, including the late fire chief, Fred Fritz. I could never get the Board of Health to get off dead center to give me a rationale for this. Chalked it up to it happens. Traffic produces toxins in the environment. I realize that a fair and accurate gauge for a study is a bit pie in the sky, but I am hopeful that with the Pinecrest development, this indeed will be the project. It will be a healthy development, and I emphasize the word healthy because the jury's still out with all of this stuff. And that new young residents moving in will enjoy some of the semi-rural bedroom qualities that my and my family loved when we moved to Orange. Yes, the schools were the big draw. The new residential part of the development I'm finding very challenging. Mr. Lewinsky said condominiums, and now I'm hearing maybe high-density apartments. I cannot get anyone to specifically tell me what, when, and how the residential part will evolve. For me, this is the biggest legislative process I've been involved with in my 28 years of public service, and it's taken much discipline and analysis for me to vote in the best manner for the residents. To the folk who live on Pinecrest and on Walnut Hills, who are frustrated by the length of the TIF process, I understand it. I get it. You are waiting for the purchase of your homes. I understand your concerns. I hope you all receive your monies for the sale of your homes very soon. I wish you all well in your new lives, wherever that takes you. We shall miss you in our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Glitter. If there's no other comments at this time, Mayor, if you'd please call roll.
Perry?
Yes.
Barron?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Kluter?
No.
Alfred?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes. Just quick comment. Thank you for that, Ms. Kluter, and you know, thanks to everybody on council and everybody who's been here for the duration of this process. You know, I think that I could speak for everybody on council that we're excited about this project. We think it's going to bring huge benefits to Orange Village and the schools. And if we didn't truly believe that, then we wouldn't, I guess, have passed these today. And Chris, as representing the developer here today, you know, good luck.
Can I just say?
Absolutely.
I just want to say, in summary, I think the documents that we've negotiated and spent so much time on, I think we have done everything we possibly can, everything we possibly could think of, everything that is known to our professionals and our advisors to ensure that the development has as good a chance to be successful as possible.